Chapter 19. A Fated Moment. Caliban. The banners overhead rustled in the breeze from the atmospheric units. Normally the sound was obscured by the shuffle and step of feet, the scrape of chairs, the murmur of conversation, or the much heartier throb of a feast in full swing. Sitting alone, awaiting Belath, Luther had only the sounds of the hall to listen to. Legion standards. Victories of the Dark Angels. He respected the achievements they represented, the last and largest being a celebration of the discovery and compliance of Caliban. Not by coincidence did it hang directly over the Lion's throne, directly above Luther's head. How he had come to loathe that banner in recent years, none would know it, but he longed to reach up and tear it to shreds, spitting on the remnants. Not a day passed when he did not desire to unmake that day and everything it had brought. The memory caused him to glance over his shoulder at the mightier throne behind him. The great rose window at the head of the hall threw the throne's shadow across Luther, an unplanned yet entirely prescient quirk of arrangement. For all that the banners were from a time before him, nevertheless they had been hung here to remind him of who he was and what he had become. For his entire life, Luther had felt the weight of history upon his shoulders. A son to knights of the order, it was his destiny to take up the blade and gun in defence of his people. Duty and honour had been his lot from the first moment he had been brought into the world screaming, delivered upon the courtyard flagstones when his mother had been caught by a swift labour. One might have scripted it, arriving in full view of the knights and serfs, lifted, crying and bloody for all to see, his mother weeping with joy. Upon such events are the biographies of the greatest composed. His father had raced down the steps from the inner wall and held him against the cold breastplate of his armour. The Grand Master's lip curled in an ironic smile. That moment, told to him, not remembered, was a metaphor for his upbringing. Always the love of his mother and the coldness of his father. Not that he felt sorry for himself in any way, such was simply the life of a child growing up in Alderuk. And he knew better than to linger on stories of destiny. He knew too many were the children born in stables, on stairwells, next to the kitchen stoves, whose lives amounted to mediocrity or greatness in equal measure. Had he been born in the chambers of his parents, with midwife and physician in attendance, the bards would find a way to twist it into an omen of what later came to pass. That fate had owed him nothing did not detract from his appreciation of what nature and nurture had given him. His birth might have been auspicious, but the teachings of his family and the inheritance of his mother's active mind played a greater role in delivering him up to the tides of greatness. A superb shot, a master with the blade, these things singled out Luther early in his training. He would make sergeant at the age of 17, the second youngest ever to do so. But it was not simply his skill at arms that his superiors recognized. He had an easy way with people, speaking equally to commoner and master. He had always been well regarded by his peers and superiors, and respected by his subordinates. It was natural that others wished to follow where he led, and just as natural that he took to leadership as a fish takes to a river. Others might have been stalled by the politics of jealousy, or allowed their own ambitions to get ahead of the natural progression of matters. Neither of these factors were detrimental to Luther's rise. When Grandmaster Ossedon died, Luther had been of an age, perhaps at the younger end of the scale, to be considered mature enough for the role. None thought it outrageous, and while some argued in favour of other candidates, none argued against his investiture. So was to begin a golden age for the Order under the command of Luther. A chance encounter, or the hand of greater powers than chance, changed all of that. A forest clearing, a hunt for the great beasts, and the meeting of Luther and the feral adolescent that would be named the Lion of the Forest by the Grand Master. Lion L. Johnson. So often told, so frequently embellished, imperial historians marked it as the pivotal moment of Caliban's history, ignoring millennia of struggle and fighting to survive during what would be known as Old Night. The hundreds of years from Alderuk's founding to the discovery of the lion were rendered irrelevant by the pens of fawning chroniclers. Caliban and the Order had been changed, that was for certain. Even now, after everything that had transpired, Luther remembered fondly that time of their own crusade, driving back the wildness of Caliban, creating a new era of the order. He knew that some, Astolan and others of his ilk, thought him jealous of those times, having to hand power to the Primarch. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Lion had quality throughout, as brave, noble, and loving as any servant would wish from a master. As others had been happy to follow Luther, so he had been joyous to find a son come brother who would eclipse all previous achievements. He stood and looked at the throne, its wood blackened with lacquer, the high and broad back carved with the likeness of a lion, matching that upon the breastplate of the Primarch's finest war gear. Luther did not hate the Primarch. He could not, for he could never hate his own family. His gaze moved to the banner again, of the Dark Angels. Why dark, Luther wondered. When they had been renamed, why had the Emperor seen fit to call them his Dark Angels? Was it intended to intimidate his enemies? Had it been a joke, perhaps, on some cosmic scale that only the Master of Mankind understood? He could believe the latter. A double-edged name, admitting their heavenly origins whilst condemning them to a future of darkness. The Lion adored the Emperor more than any son loved a father, and in that had been his greatest weakness. The day Luther met the Lion was not the day the Grand Master ruled. It was the day the Emperor's warriors found them that was to be the start of all that had gone wrong. As though the universe also enjoyed a sense of comic timing, the hall resounded with the thud of a gauntleted fist on heavy wood. The door wardens opened the great portal to admit Belath, who stopped and looked around at the banners and trophies, this time more aware of them than during his previous visit. Luther was still standing in front of his chair, also contemplating the standards on display.
"Welcome, Chapter Master Belath," Luther declared, hurrying down the hall to meet the Chapter Master part way.
He offered a hand, which Belath shook without thought.
"I wanted to apologize and make amends for my misstep during our first meeting."
"Misstep, Master Luther?"
"My over-enthusiastic greeting in this very hall. I should have attended to your request for discretion more diligently. As it is, Caliban is astir with stories about your return."
"I would have you think nothing more on it, Master Luther. My pressing concern is for..."
Belath tailed away and turned as the doors opened with a babble of voices. A dozen serfs entered, dressed in hose and tunics and heavy aprons, dragging with them blocks of polish and buckets of water.
"How unfortunate," declared Luther, though prearrangement rather than fortune had ensured the menials had entered only moments after Belath. "Another embarrassment. The hall needs to be prepared for the banquet. I should have remembered and arranged our meeting in a more apt location."
"What banquet, Master Luther?"
"Your feast of honour, Chapter Master. Your triumph, of course."
"I don't want a feast. I want to take the recruits and get back to Corswain with 30,000 fresh warriors."
"Of course you do, Belath."
Though he was shorter than the Space Marine by 10 centimetres, Luther was able to angle himself in such a way as to shepherd him towards one of the side doors. Arm outstretched, he guided the Chapter Master from the hall.
"I do not understand the delays," Belath continued as they walked down a long gallery, heading towards the western wall of the citadel. "It has been 11 days since I made my needs known. Surely you have been prepared for this moment. A suspicious man might think you were delaying our departure on purpose."
"Prepared? Yes. Ready? That is not quite the same thing," Luther admitted with a rueful look. "One does not simply sweep up 30,000 space marines and fling them into orbit, as you know, Chapter Master."
"The victualling has proceeded without hindrance. I don't see why we have yet to see a single warrior in orbit."
"They have been training for their whole lives, Belath. This is a grand moment for them. But you must remember that they are untested in true battle. They have been a garrison, not a force of assault and defence. We must ensure that they are as battle-ready as possible the moment they set foot on your ships."
While they spoke, they traversed several more corridors and smaller halls, until Luther had led them to a small cloister that ran alongside the Angelicaster's innermost wall. A set of stone steps led to the rampart, flanked by an iron rail forged in the likeness of two intertwined serpents. The design was almost invisible from centuries of hands clasping the ancient metal.
"I must also insist about the feast, brother," Luther continued, as he took the steps two at a stride. Belath followed closely. "It is only fitting that we honour the departure of Caliban's sons with a suitable occasion."
From the rampart, they looked down into the eastern proving grounds of Alderuk. Here there was a virtually empty stretch of ground for 5 kilometres, until the gate of Aster in the curtain wall. Normally, the 2-kilometre-wide area was used to mock up battlefields or create firing ranges for heavy weapons practice and close armoured manoeuvres. Makeshift trenches had been filled in and bunkers dismantled. The proving ground was filled with warriors armoured in black plate. Banners of green and red, the colours of Caliban, and blazoned with symbols from the same tradition fluttered above their command squads. Rhino transports in shining ebon livery stood beside each unit.
10,000 strong, announced Luther with a broad grin.
He held up a hand, and at his signal, the assembled warriors raised weapons in a perfectly unified salute.
A host fit for Corswain, and but a third of the compliment you will be taking to him, Chapter Master.
It is remarkable, said Belath,
but his expression was guarded.
Such spectacle as might have once stirred me is now commonplace in my memories. I have seen a legion at war, Master Luther, and there is nothing like it. 10,000 warriors at parade is impressive, but I witnessed a night drop of 40,000 Dark Angels at the pacification of Aurentius II.
He sighed.
But thank you for demonstrating that the troops are ready to embark today.
Luther fought to control his temper. No small effort had gone into preparing this display, and Belath's crass dismissal served only to remind the Grand Master of the glories and renown he should have earned at the side of the Lion. He could also not ignore the possibility that Belath was being purposefully indifferent to assert his own authority. Such a thought brought Luther back to his original intent.
As I said before, I must insist that you attend the triumphal feast, Master Belath.
Your insistence is wasted, Master Luther.
Belath looked down at the Grand Master, and there was regret in his eyes.
When I was an infant, you were my hero, even more than the Lion. I could never become a Primarch, but you were the example to which I aspired. A man of Caliban, risen to the greatest heights of power and glory. It turns my heart that you have been stranded here, and if it were in my power to say otherwise, I would gladly hand these warriors to you and take up the burden of Caliban's protection.
His expression grew sterner.
But it is not to be. Your feasts can't soften me, your kind words, and he waved a hand at the Space Marines, still standing at the salute. Your demonstrations can't flatter or sway me. By the Lion's command you were placed upon this world, and no other word can lift you from it. It was a punishment masquerading as an honour. Many of us could see that from the outset. It might even be unjust, but that is not for us to decide, is it, Master Luther? Even if you were to offer me command of this expedition, I would not take it.
Luther replied, speaking the truth, though his meaning was not as Belath would interpret it. He let some hardness enter his voice.
Also, you must realize that these are not your warriors. Not yet. They are mine. They belong to Caliban.
Luther raised a hand to stall any protest.
In their hearts, the Grand Master added, the Legion and the Primarch are distant figures. Many of them have lived their entire lives never knowing anything but this isolation. The feast is my endorsement. My authority will pass to you and your men. If you do not attend, I cannot in all conscience pass these warriors to you, for they will not accept you as their leader.
That would be insubordination, growled Belath.
I hoped that you would not take offence.
Luther had expected as much from the closed-minded chapter master.
This is not an insult or a threat, but a solution. You stand now receiving their salute next to me. In the morning, when you return to your ships, You shall receive it alone. The mantle will be passed.
The Space Marine's eyes narrowed and jaw clenched, but he said nothing.
I am giving you 30,000 warriors, Chapter Master. 30,000 Space Marines. In these turbulent times, such a thing could make or break a war. I am trusting you with this weapon in the belief that it will fall upon the proper foe.
Luther looked at the host of warriors, feigning a melancholic turn.
More than any previous generation, these are my little brothers. I willingly release them to you, but let us not do so as a furtive exchange of goods. Let us mark this occasion, knowing that history will remember this day as keenly as many others in Caliban's noble past and glorious future. A feast, brother with brother, to mark all that we share still, to celebrate your past victories and to speed you to fresh ones.
Luther's sudden smile was like the full heat of the sun, all-encompassing and overpowering, and Belarth cracked after just a few seconds. When he grinned, the scarred warrior had a boyish look even now, and he bowed his head unconsciously in deference to the Grand Master.
We shall lord all of you, of course, Luther concluded. Gunships will be sent to bring your veterans down to Caliban for their triumph. A wing of the Angelicaster has been assigned to allow them to prepare for the banquet tonight.
Without waiting for a reply, Luther motioned to a figure standing to one side of the arrayed Space Marines below. It was Astolan, standing beneath two banners, one his personal standard from the Legion, the other the honorary banner of his chapter that had been brought forth from the vaults that morning. Astolan made no direct response, but an instant later the Space Marines lowered their weapons at his unheard command, did an about-turn, and set off at a slow march towards the distant gate. At the same moment, the roar of gunships sounded overhead, and a flotilla of thunderhawks and stormbirds started a spiraling descent to the transport terminal a kilometre outside the city. Turning his back on the display, its majesty sullied by his companion's state of indifference, Luther guided Belarth to the quarters that had been set aside. There he left the chapter master to the diligent attendance of Alderuk's army of squires and serfs. A few strides from leaving Belarth's company, Luther heard other footsteps fall in just behind him.
"Do you think he will come around to our point of view?" asked Lord Cypher. "That will be your goal this afternoon," Luther replied without looking around. "Astolan will have the first cadre brought down within 90 minutes. Until then, spend your time with Belarth. He is the keystone, of course. And the others? You have 7 hours to speak to as many of them as you can. You are the Lord Cypher. You are the Order. They will all be Calibanites. Remind them that the Order is Caliban." "I am aware of the duty before me, Sir Luther."
Luther stopped abruptly. He met Lord Cypher's cowled gaze.
"You disapprove of making overtures to Belarth and his men?" "It seems an unnecessary complication. When we have them on Caliban, we no longer require their cooperation."
"Require?"
"Require!" Luther bared his teeth. "If we did only that which is required, we would meekly serve out our time until the Emperor, Horus, or the Lion returned to place us in bondage once again. We do what is right, Lord Cypher. We bring honour to the Order, to Caliban. If not for these values, why persist? It is our way of life, our traditions, our worth that we strive to protect. And if Belarth's company of warriors no longer share those traditions and values?" "Astolan has already called my dedication into question, albeit obliquely. I do not need the same from my closest adviser." "It is rare that I and the Terran are in accord. Perhaps that is worth noting. And we have not yet been answered, Sir Luther." "Nor will words suffice," snapped Luther. "Only in the moment, when pressed to make the decision to act or not act, can any of us be sure of our thoughts and deeds. What assurance would I give that could not be undermined by doubt?"
"Simply tell me the truth, brother," said Lord Cypher,
his tone conciliatory.
"If Belarth will not be turned to our cause, will you give the command to silence his dissent permanently?"
"Truth? There is no wisdom save in truth. Truth is everlasting, but our ideas about truth are changeable. Only a little of the first fruits of wisdom, only a few fragments of the boundless heights, breadths, and depths of truth have I been able to gather. I have not forgotten that there are questions still unanswered about what happened in the North Wilds. Serve me better today than you did then, and perhaps my queries will pass from thought.
Lord Cypher regarded his commander for a moment, perhaps trying to gauge the depth of his intent. His inquiry was met with a flinty stare.
Be about your duties, Luther told him. If you are diligent, the time of testing might yet be postponed, and we shall all fare better for it. If I am forced onto the horns of such a dilemma, regard it as your failing that I have been placed there.
Luther spun and strode away, feeling Lord Cypher's gaze on his back. The truth, the Grand Master told himself, was that even he did not know if he could order the death of Belarth and his company. It was a bridge he would have to cross, or burn, only when he arrived upon it.